I do want to say happy Mother's Day to all mothers, and I have another phone. My recordings on Facebook have not been well. I thought it might be the hookup, but it might not been. We think it was the phone, so we have another phone hookup. So hopefully, have another phone. That's an iPhone 13, so hopefully it will solve that problem. This is my first recording, and if it doesn't work, I'll get it fixed. But iPhones are better than Android, so. I know, a lot of people don't know. But anyway, I do want to continue to thank you for your prayers for Sister Hammond. Family has told me that they think that she had a stroke when she fell or after she fell. And that makes a lot of sense when Justin and I went to see her. She didn't look like she was really, really all there. So it makes kind of sense. When old people fall, a lot of times, and they hit their head, that's a bad sign. My mother did that right before she passed. I know a lot of people that fell and hurt to hit their head right before they died, older people, and that's a bad sign, especially when you got bad health. But anyway, like I say, in 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, the family gets ready to have the memorial service, we will have it here, okay? If you will, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. We are studying what we call the 8 blessings of salvation found in Romans chapter 5. Now, we can go through the scriptures and find a whole lot more than these, but these verses 1 through 5 are those 5 that we're looking at strictly. And we are taking them one by one. I'll be gone a couple weeks from now on the last Sunday of the month. Gus will be standing for me. We're going down to Devil Springs, Louisiana to do the Bible conference down there. And we were debating whether or not to come back on Saturday or come back Saturday night or come back on Sunday. And we decided it's best for us to wait. And we're going to hear the first speaker and then we're going to leave before the second speaker. And that way we get back home maybe about 6 or 7 because the director's got to go back to work. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access. So peace and access were our first two. And by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope, that's our third one, one we have today, of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, perseverance, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So we see a lot there. The Lord put these in perfect order. That's what God does, doesn't he? Peace is first. We have to understand that as sinners saved by grace, we have peace with God, because a lot of people do not have peace with God. They are going to have the wrath of God or the anger of God upon them and on this earth and in time. They may not be having it right now. They may be wealthy. They may be having a great time. This world may be going their way. They may be a woke, socialist, horrible people. And that's okay. They may be satanic people. And that's okay, too. Let them have their glory, because this is all the glory they get. Our glory is beyond this life. Our glory is when this life is over. That is what our hope is in. That's what we have hope in. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in his glory. Our hope is in everything to do with God himself. So in verse 2, we see at the end of it, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And you'll notice what comes next is tribulations. And the reason tribulations is after this, because the Lord wants us to understand our peace, our access to God, and our hope in Christ and the glory of God before we get to the things that we suffer upon this earth, which is trials and tribulations, persecutions, things like that. All of these are going to happen because God said in this life you shall have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hate me, because they hate me first. Lord says that we love him because he loved us first. So if the Lord loved us first, that's fine. Then we can also suffer for his name's sake, can't we? But our hope is in the blessings and access we have to God. And that is, we're able to talk to our Lord. We're able to communicate with our Lord in those things. So our first point is, I said I'll try to get you a little early, and I will. And our first point is this: a believer's main reason is our hope in life, isn't it? And our hope in Christ. Our hope in, as he says here at the last of it, he says, in last verse 2, he says, is our rejoicing and the hope we have in the glory of God. All the things that God shines down on us. All the things that God gives us in this life. If you will, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose, don't we? We know that he loves us, don't we? And we know that he's going to get glory out of everything, isn't he? Even in our persecutions, even in our trials in life, and even in everything else, God's going to get glory from it. And that's what matters, isn't it? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord and the Lord getting glory. But our hope is in the Lord, isn't it? Because we know that the Father will never leave us. The Son will never leave us or forsake us. The Holy Spirit will never leave us or forsake us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man saith, what does he yet hope for? Yeah, I don't hope I have a house. I can see the thing from the church building. So I know I have a house over there. And I know that I have a wife because I'm standing here looking at her. I know that we have a church building. We have a church because I'm standing in it. Staying among the church. So I know a lot of things, but you know what the blessing of hope is? Is we have a God that other people just don't believe in. They say they believe in him, but they don't. They don't believe that God is sovereign. They don't believe that God can do things. They don't believe that God controls everything. They say they do, they don't, but they don't believe it. But we do, don't we? We know that we are in the hands of God, don't we? Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. So faith and hope go together. Always put faith and hope together because they're almost like they always go together. Because you have faith in Christ, you have hope, isn't it? So let's go to Romans chapter 12. Rejoicing and hope, patience and tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's a lot of it right there, isn't it? Paul just told us again about it, didn't he? All the way over in chapter 12. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continually talking to our Father through the access we have to him. That's what gets us through a day, folks. That's what makes our life worth living as Christians. That's what makes this evil world tolerable. I was reading this morning a little bit about some of the actors in Hollywood are going to try to move Hollywood to Texas. I said, that's okay. You're welcome, Texas. Everybody is. But leave your liberal, rich, liberal, intolerable, spoiled rats over in California. That's where they belong. Otherwise, you can move on over here. Join us. But because we have life better here, don't we? What little life we have is good in this world. We have it right here in the South. But it may not always be that way, might it? It might not always be tolerable. It might not always be like it is today. We may become under some other rules and laws, regulations, and judges. Judges control a lot of things. And they can make life hard on us. Very hard. People are hateful. They can make life hard on us, can't they? But you know what? It's okay. Because God controls it all. Everything is in the hand of God. Everything. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, whether we think it's good, whether we think it's bad, is irrelevant. We have hope, real hope. And because we have hope, we're going to be able to go right into our next point where we glory in tribulations. It's because of the peace, because of the access, because of the hope, that we're able to deal with these things. I mean, folks, just go back, go into parts of the world right now where Christians are greatly persecuted. Go into parts of the world back in history when Christians were so horribly treated that they were murdered at the hands of others who called themselves Christians. And the murderers still call themselves Christians. And they would still be murderers if they could get away with it. Governments are some of the greatest persecutors. Rome and the church at Rome and the government in Rome got together and persecuted and killed a lot of people. Go back and read your history. Go to Psalm 16, if you will. In Psalm chapter 16, we read verse 8 and 9. I have a lot of scripture this morning. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in what? Hope. I have regarded myself always in the presence of God. He's promised never to leave me, nor forsake me, hasn't he? Therefore, I struggle in this world. This struggle is okay. If that's what God wants for me. Whatever the Lord wants for me is fine and dandy. You know why? I have hope in Christ. I have hope in God. I have hope in the Holy Spirit. So while I struggle in this life, I struggle to always, and I also struggle to always feel that God's eyes are consistently on me. Constantly on me. Always on me. Every day, every moment of every day, the Lord's eyes are on me. That's my hope in life. Yes, we get sick. Yes, we die. Yes, people in our life die. Yes, children die. Babies die. Teenagers die. People in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s die every day. Just for our life, folks. We don't have to blame somebody for death. We certainly don't have to blame God for it, do we? Or illnesses. God said it's appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. God said he set our bounds. We cannot pass down. We don't, any of us, deserve to live another day. None of us deserve to live another moment. If God was to destroy this earth today like he did back in the flood, that would be fine. Because we are God's creation that sinned against God. Anything God gives us, anything God allows us to have in his life is a blessing. I wish people could see it, but they can't. Because most of them are blind. Even a lot of Christians are blind to the fact of their hope in Christ. Their hope in God. Their hope in what God has set before us is our plate, and that's where we'll be. So we struggle. Psalmist wrote, "And because of faith and my hope in the Lord, I shall not be moved." There's a song there. I wish we had in our songbook. I shall not be moved. I won't sing for you because I don't want you to leave just yet. But there is a song like that. And it's a wonderful song. Most of you probably already know it. I know we've sang here before. We used to sing it all the time at Country Baptist Church. I love that song because I shall not be moved. And the disgrace so many today have been moved. And they're moved because of the sign of the times. Go to Psalms 109, if you will. Albert Barnes wrote, "To have one in our right hand is to have one near us who can defend us." What's the greatest thing in you, to you? It's the one on your right hand, isn't it? We always say our protection's on our right hand, isn't it? I'm pointing to the left, but to the right. But anyway, our protection's on our right hand. God's our protector, isn't he? Let's look here at Psalm 109, verse 30 and 31. "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitudes." Verse 31. "For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save them from those that condemn his soul." The Lord is our protector. He's on our right hand, isn't he? Therefore, Brother Albert Barnes said, to have one at our right hand, I'm repeating this again, is to one have near to us to defend us. God is there, isn't he? On our right hand. Protecting us, caring for us, loving us, never leaving, never forsaking us. That is our hope in life. There's no hope in this life. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope of today. There's no hope of tomorrow. There's no hope of another election. There's no hope of a new government. There's no hope of anything in this world. Our only hope as Christians is the Lord and our Heavenly Father who's on our right hand to protect us. That's the reason I won't be moved. That's the reason Christians are not to be moved at all. As I said earlier, unfortunately some have been. Shame on them. Shame on people that will not stand up for the Lord. I put it on Facebook. I don't give me a like. That's okay. I don't care for me like. My job is to preach the truth, not people what makes people happy. If you preach the truth, it's going to hurt you, isn't it? It hurts me sometimes to read the Word of God and say, oh my, I've been doing that. The Lord chastens and chastises us through his Word, doesn't he? But our hope is still in his love, in his gift of Jesus, in his gift of salvation, in his gift of eternal life. That is our hope and life. Proverbs chapter 14. So we have until death because we know God is at our right hand. Therefore, we have no reason to ever lose faith or ever lose hope as Christians. We don't have to surrender to the world's thinking. We don't have to give in to it. We can be nice about it. We can be nice to people. We can love those that hate us and spitefully use us. He says in Proverbs 14:32, the wicked is driven away by his wickedness. Listen, but the righteous hath hope in his death. don't we? You have hope in your death? I do. It's not that I hope to have eternal life. I have eternal life, and that's what gives me hope in this life. Job 19, verse 25 through 27. Job 19, verse 25 through 27. He says, Job wrote his, and Job knew a lot, didn't he? Obed's dad didn't know much, but Job did, didn't he? He may not have understood everything, but he stood with the Lord. Even when people accused him, you know what? Don't ever accuse somebody of things you don't know what you're talking about. People accused Job of doing something to make God mad. Did Job do anything to make God mad? No. We know that, don't we? Oh, Billy Dad didn't, but we know that, don't we? Look at Job chapter 19, verse 25. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, through my reins to be consumed with me. Job knew, didn't he? That should be our attitude, folks. It don't matter. Look at everything happened to Job. And the people that accused him, like old Bildad, who didn't know much. Anybody that accused him of making God mad didn't know what was going on, did they? Job didn't know, but he knew this, didn't he? See, we may not know much either, but we know that. We know that God is with us. We know that our hope is in the Lord. We know that through Christ we have hope. We know that through Christ one day we will stand with God. One day we will stand with Jesus in the place he's prepared for us. Skip down now to our third point, and if you're in Job, stay there and go to verse chapter 34. So we look at lost people and compare ourselves to them. How would you like to be a lost person? If you could be Eldon, or whatever his name is, old Mutt, or old whatever his name is, you used on Amazon, or any Walmart people, Walton people, if you could be a billionaire like that, imagine being a billionaire, all the things you could do. Rebecca and I went over and looked at the yellow house over here across the road. She saw that, and we wasn't going to buy. I mean, she only wants $110,000, and we're only $110,000 short of that $110,000, so we're certainly not going to buy it. But we went over and looked at it, and it's all fixed up nice and everything. Anyway, it would be nice to have, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to have a mansion. It would be nice to have anything in his life, but to sacrifice my salvation, to sacrifice the hope that I have in Christ, the hope I have in my eternal life, the hope I have one day standing in the Holy of Holies with my Father, as though I'd never sinned. All of those things is glorious, isn't it? In verse 20, in Job 34, in a moment they shall die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. And the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For the eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he shall not lay upon any man more than right, that he should not enter into judgment with God. I'm sorry, that he should enter into judgment with God. God's not going to put more on them than they deserve, but he's going to give them what they deserve. He's going to give them eternal lake of fire. They can hide. Remember the tribulation period? When the great hell starts coming down, they run into the mountains in the cave trying to hide from God, and rocks fall on them. You can't hide from God. But see, we don't have to. Adam hid from God. A lot of people, a lot of Christians today are hiding from God. Not really, but they think they are. That's the reason they go out and do their sinful lives, is because they think they're being hid from God. Just because the church don't know about it don't mean that God doesn't know about it. God knows everything. Just because your family and friends don't know what you're doing doesn't mean that you're hiding from God. God knows everything. He sees everything. Our blessing is optional in this. Our blessing is we shall die and then stand before the Lord. Mr. Hammond was the presence of God right now with Horace and Donna and her mother and her daddy and Brother Avery and Sister May and all of them, Charles and Don, hopefully Raymond. Hopefully others in their life. Not as family, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Skip down to our last point. So we as Christians have hope. God's at our right hand to protect us. And because we have that hope, we have a reason to rejoice. Even in times of trouble, our next is tribulation. Even in troubles and tribulations and persecutions and trials of life, we have a reason to rejoice. Don't let it get you down, folks. It does, doesn't it? It's just human nature, isn't it? I'm human like everybody else. You guys, my wife, I get down. She gets down. We try to pick each other up. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Life sometimes is hard on us. We go through a lot of things in our life that sometimes it can get bad for us. We need to remember, we have hope. Look at Psalms 30. Psalm chapter 30. I'll end with these psalms. I have two or three psalms. I'll read real quickly in 1 minute. Psalms 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee, or to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee, how long? Forever. Stand up that you may sing praise unto the Lord. That's your glory. Giving glory to God is your glory. Psalm 71, real quickly. Verse 14. He says in verse 14, 15, but I will continually, I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Is that true with you? It needs to be, isn't it? It needs to be true of all of us Christians, doesn't it? Me and all of you. Now, we all fail, don't we? But we shouldn't, but we do. Old human nature, isn't it? For I know not the number thereof. What do I know? I know I got hope in the Lord. Right? One more Psalm, 145. I know I have hope in the Lord. I know I have hope in Christ. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Nothing man can do to me can undo what God has done. No person can judge me, condemn me, mock me, make fun of me more than they did my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom some call the devil, whom they arrested, convicted, beating, unrecognizable. Shamed him. Disgraced him. Stripped him naked and gambled for his clothing. Put a crown of thorns upon the brow of the Savior. And you think your life is hard. You think they do wrong to you. You think that your trials and tribulations in the world are harder than the Lord. Look at Psalms 145, verse 1. David says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Remember that when you start in your hope. Remember your hope. Thinking about your hope. Thinking about your life. Always remember the hope you have. Always remember the access to God you have to talk to him. And always remember the peace you have with God. And it's because you have peace. It's because you have peace, you have access. And because you have peace and access, you have hope. Even in trials and tribulations. Boy, the Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? It's a beautiful thing. You study God's word and you see how he placed everything. Let's all stand. Guest is going to come. He's going to lead us in a song.